We're glad to see each one of you here this evening, and we trust the Lord will bless His Word as we read it and as we consider it together. Would you turn, please, to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 14. We were singing about a day of judgment coming, and this evening we'd like to consider a little what the Scriptures teach about the judgment seat of Christ. And then in the will of the Lord on Thursday evening, we'd like to think of a number of pathways that we can take, beloved. And if we take them, we'll be very thankful at the judgment seat of Christ. But here in Romans chapter 14, read at verse 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose," or, I believe more properly, "Christ died and returned to life, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest," or become manifest, or shine forth, or another rendering would be spread abroad, "for the day shall declare it," or make it evident. You remember Peter's speech made him evident. It betrayed him, didn't it? I suppose mine does, too. You recognize the fact by my speech that I'm not a native of your beautiful island. Peter's speech made him evident, and that's the word here, declare, "because it shall be revealed," and that word has the thought of uncover. The veil, the veneer, will all be removed. And then the final word is, "and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." And there the word is try or prove, as gold is tried, as gold is proved. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Chapter 4 and 1 verse, please. Verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time." Now that isn't telling us that there are not things that we should judge. If we were to turn over to the Epistle to Corinthians chapter 5, we have things that must be judged. But then there are things that we're not to judge, beloved. We're not to judge. We're not in the seat of judgment. I can't judge your service. I can't judge your motives. Only the Lord can judge those things. And notice what it says here, "until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise or his proper praise of God. Every man shall have his proper praise of God. And then we'll have one further reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read in at verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, or we make it our aim, or we endeavor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him or well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now we trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. If we were to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 19, we have the church brought before us there as a bride and as an army. And as we think of those, of course, our position in the as a part of the bride, or in the bride, if you will, or our place in glory, our place in heaven, is all of the grace of God. It is absolutely on the basis of the merit of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not at all, beloved, because of something that we have done. But then when you think of our place in the kingdom, we have a contrast. Because I believe the Word of God would plainly teach us that our place in the kingdom, when I say our place, I don't mean whether we'll be there or not, but I mean the position that we'll occupy in the day of His reign is being determined day by day by how we order our lives. In other words, it's going to be on the basis of merit. In an army, there are privates, there's sergeants and so on, right on up to the general and maybe higher than that. And of course, those that occupy such positions have certain qualifications. And so it will be, I believe, in that day to come. Now, this is something that is going to be gone into. And rewards given, positions assigned, I believe, at the judgment seat of Christ. Our lives are to be examined. That's a very solemn thought. But thank God it isn't a question of whether we're going to be finally saved or not, whether we're going to be allowed to remain in heaven or not. The question of salvation is not being considered. It's not the question, beloved, of whether we are to be in heaven or not. I repeat, it's an examination to see if we are qualified to have a position of honor in the day of the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of this subject of judgment, I believe the believer is associated with at least three judgments. One in the past, one in the present, one in the future. If we were to consider our own self-judgment as a judgment, and I'm not doing that, I would say two in the present. But as we think of the judgment in the past, of course, we would think of the judgment of the cross, where our sins were dealt with. And we can say on the basis of the Word of God, no condemnation for me. because the condemnation, the judgment, was all borne by our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The sin question was settled and settled forever. Shall not come into condemnation is the word of the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But then there is a present judgment. We would read about this in Hebrews chapter 12. That is the disciplinary judgment. God's discipline of His children. And of course, this again is a very important subject to consider. We who are saved, beloved, are not free to do just what we please. If we're really in God's family, then we are responsible to recognize His claim upon us. We are responsible to obey Him. We have children, most of us, in our families, and we expect and we want our children to learn to obey us. It's good for them. It's the pathway of happiness and harmony in the home. And it is the pathway of harmony and of blessing in the family of God as we learn to obey Him. Now, if we do things that are wrong, then God chastens us. And I would say, beloved, if not, if we're doing things that are wrong and disobedient, if we're doing things that are wrong in the sight of God and we're not being chastened, then I believe we might well get into the presence of the Lord and ask Him, am I really one of your children or not? You see, the Lord doesn't give us the liberty of being disobedient children. And He tells us that whom He loves, He chastens. And so there is that present judgment, His disciplinary judgment. But then, of course, there is the future judgment, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe there are three great scenes of judgment brought before us in the Word of God. There is the judgment seat of Christ, and I believe that that is the next judgment that will be known. But then, beloved, there is that judgment when the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth with His bride, the church, with that army of Revelation 19, when He sits upon the throne of His glory, and when before Him will be gathered all of the nations, and when He will divide them, those who are saved will go into His millennial kingdom, and those who are not saved, of course, will go to judgment. But then there's a final scene of judgment, and that's brought before us in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and that is the great white throne judgment, a most solemn occasion. For there we have the judgment of the dead. And when it speaks of the dead, of course, beloved, it isn't physical that's in view, it's spiritual. Once all of us were dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and in sins, and apart, of course, from the grace of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would still be in that condition of spiritual death. The judgment seat of Christ, or the bema. Now, I believe, beloved, that the apostle was acquainted with the Grecian games. And at those games, of course, they had a judge, and he was up on a raised platform, where he could view the contestants, all who were engaged in that contest. And as he watched them, beloved, it wasn't just to see who was best or who was first, second, and third, but it was rather to see who was carrying out the rules, who was going by the rules, the regulations that governed that contest. Now, at the end of that contest, all would stand before the judge. And he would award them, of course, according to their success in going by the rules. And, of course, if you cut the corners here or you did something that was contrary to the rules, then you would forfeit your reward. Now, I believe that's a little picture of what is going to be true at the judgment seat of Christ. It isn't that you've done better than I did or I did better than you. No, beloved, at the judgment seat of Christ at the Bema, I believe the basis of reward or loss will be just how we responded to the Word of God, whether we obeyed it or whether we were careless and indifferent as we ran the race of life. Did we go by the Word of God? There's a lovely little interesting picture. I wanted you to turn back, please, to the book of Exodus for a moment and notice a little picture in Exodus 39. I believe it's a picture that might well set before us that day of review that's before us as God's people. Exodus chapter 39. And, of course, this is the building of the tabernacle. It's all completed. And notice verse 42, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Now, I think here's a lovely picture. Oh, you think of these people gathering together, all their work spread out, all their work examined. Now, Moses had a pattern, as we know from Exodus chapter 25. God gave him the pattern. And they weren't free at all to change that pattern. They weren't free, beloved, to advance their own notions, to say, well, I think that when we make the table, we could make it a little nicer, and we could do this or we could do that with it. They had to obey the Word of God, and it was all examined, beloved, to see if it had been done according to the Word of God. Thank God they did. And how important it was, because in that tabernacle, all was speaking His glory, all was providing for us lovely lessons concerning the person and work of God's beloved Son. And so, here we see them being praised. Behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. How important this is. I think, beloved, as we think of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and then the fact that the closing letter to Laodicea, that would seem to be speaking to our own present day. Oh, how it should exercise our hearts that we would seek to carry out simply and obediently the principles that God has given us in His Word, that we might have commendation in that day, well done, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when will the judgment seat take place? I think this verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 4 tells us, then judge nothing before the time when the Lord comes. Oh, beloved, it's when He comes, after the rapture of the church, we're going to be caught up. And I think something important is going to happen before we come to the judgment seat of Christ, and that is we're going to be changed. I think that's important. Because when we are changed, then, beloved, I believe we'll be able to rightly see things and to value things and to appreciate things as he does. You see? But it's when the Lord comes. Now, if we were to turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, you'll remember there we're told that you'll be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. When will that take place? When the Lord comes, the dead in Christ shall arise first. Now, of course, it's going to be before the day of his reign. Because our positions in that day are being decided, then certainly that judgment must take place before the day of his glorious reign. You remember the record of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23? I believe there again we might see a little picture of the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, there are men who are mentioned, just their names. There are others who are mentioned, and their deeds are mentioned. But then, you know, solemnly, we would notice there are some who are not mentioned. A Jonathan isn't mentioned. A Joab isn't mentioned. Jonathan, that man that loved the Lord, that loved David, devoted to David, and yet he fails to find a place. Why? What did Jonathan do? Oh, listen, beloved, he failed to identify himself with the pathway of the rejected David. And in the day of David's reign, Jonathan didn't have a place. That's sad, isn't it? You remember Joab as well. Joab was a great man. He was a great warrior. My, the battles he was involved in. But you know, he was a man that was wrapped up in himself. And he doesn't have a place in the list of David's mighty men. And so we would see, beloved, even from this, I believe, indications that it is possible for us to disqualify ourselves from that place of honor, if we fail to identify with the Lord Jesus in the time of his rejection, and if perchance self becomes the object, the center of our thinking, our glory, our position, our honor, and not his. Now, I believe there's a question that is very often raised about the judgment seat of Christ, and that is, will sin be mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, of course, I'm thinking of the sins of believers, because only believers are going to appear there. Well, I'm going to say, beloved, absolutely not for punishment. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we read that the believer's works are to be manifest, whether they be good or bad, good or, that word could be translated evil, or it has been translated worthless. Thus there would seem that there's going to be a mention, not only of the things that we did that were pleasing to the Lord, but also of things that were wrong, the worthless things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the hidden things, they're going to be revealed. You know, I believe that there are often results to our actions here that we fail to realize or understand today. What I do may be having an effect upon you that is stumbling you, hindering you, causing you to lose out. I may do something that I may do something that grieves you and never put it right. Listen, beloved, I believe those things must be put right if we're going to have that happy fellowship that would seem to be ours in the day of glory. You remember in our Bible, the sin of David's mentioned, and it was forgiven. But it's on record. And so with the sin of Peter, Peter's sin was also forgiven. what it was on record. Now, God isn't going to demand satisfaction for our sin. God has received that satisfaction at Calvary. But I believe, beloved, unless these things are brought out, now mind you, I believe if you want to avoid meeting them at the judgment seat of Christ, meet them with God now. I believe, beloved, if we confess our sin now and put things right now, we'll not have to meet them at the judgment seat of Christ. But listen, beloved, if we don't, then I believe, beloved, those things will have to be gone into. You know, Paul speaks of the judgment seat of Christ as a very solemn occasion. And I believe that's part of it. The things that I've done, that I haven't put right with my brethren, or my neighbor, whoever, as a believer, must be revealed, not for punishment, but put right, as my life is reviewed in the presence of God. Now, as we think of that, what is going to be reviewed? Well, I believe there are three things. Our deeds, our words, our thoughts. Our deeds, what God sees. Our words, what God hears. Our thoughts, the motives, the purposes of our hearts. Yes, here are things that God knows. You know, men have some wonderful inventions today. And, of course, they're improving them all the time. A few years ago, it was the movie camera, and then the recorder, the wire recorder, and then the tape recorder. And now, of course, they've got them all combined and so on. And then they have lie detectors. And you can see yourself on these movies and listen to yourself on tape. There's your actions. There's your words. And with the tape recorder, they will try, or rather with the lie detector, they'll even try to discern your thoughts. But listen, beloved, God has got his tape recorder. God has got his camera, if you will. God has got his record, and our record, our individual record, must be faced in that day. It's all going to be revealed. It will be made manifest. We must appear. We must be made manifest in the presence of God. Now, we're going to be examined in the light of our individual characters. You know, we're all different. And God isn't going to expect me, or he's not going to judge me on the basis of what you have in opportunity or privilege or character. God is going to take into account, if you will, our differences of knowledge, our differences of ability, our differences of makeup. You know, some people are tempted by one thing. Some people are not. Now, some people are tempted by smoking. Other people aren't. You're not going to get a reward for not smoking if you hate smoking. You see what I mean? God is going to take into account, beloved, our individual makeups, if you will. In other words, why do we do things? Why do I serve? Why do I preach? Why do I serve in the assembly? Is it that I might display myself? Is it that I might be seen? Listen, beloved, if that's the motive, then, of course, that's wrong. And it'll all go up in smoke. That'll be lost. Now, God will take that into account. You remember in our Bible the story of Ananias and Sapphira. What they did was wonderful. They gave. But, beloved, was a wrong motive. And, of course, it wasn't an acceptable motive at all. But then I believe as well, where we did things, you know, the circumstances in which we live. So vary. God takes circumstances into view. I see a dear widow woman coming into the temple when the Lord Jesus was there over against the treasury. And she put in her two mites. What a little offering. Ah, but wait, how he appreciated that. Why? Because he could take into account the circumstances. He knew that that dear woman was giving all her living, all that she had. Oh, beloved, we might give something, wouldn't feel it at all. This woman was giving till it hurt, if you will. And he will take that into account. You know, again, in that chapter we referred to in Samuel, where we have the list of David's mighty men, we read about a man called Benaniah. And we're told there that he slew a lion. That's a wonderful thing. We're told he slew a lion in a pit. That's more wonderful. In a time of winter. Why, that thing would be hungry. You see? Now, every circumstance was taken, oh, it was wonderful to slay a lion. But then to slay it in a pit, get down there and kill that lion in a pit. But to do it in a time of winter when that lion would likely be desperately hungry, all is taken into account in every circumstance by the Lord, and all the circumstances, beloved, will be taken in. Not only what, but why, and also, if you like, where I did it. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to do things when we're in a large company of God's people. Not so easy if we're all alone, is it? Not so easy. Now here on the island, you have a large company, and surely it's not easy to be associated with a large company of God's people. Thank God for this nice company. But I wonder how we would be, beloved, if we were just a little company. Would we continue faithful to Him? Would we continue faithful to His Word? Oh, I say, the Lord looks for that, and our lives are going to be examined carefully by the Lord as to why we did it, where we were, and what our motives were. And it's going to be examined in the light of His Word, what He said, what He did. And you know the Lord will be faithful in giving or in denying reward. You know, it isn't going to be a Sunday school picnic. I don't know how you have your Sunday school picnics here, but it's likely the same as most places. Everybody's got to have something, haven't they? Well, now that's all right. I'm not finding fault with that, of course. The dear children, we wouldn't want them to go home disappointed. But listen, beloved, the judgment seat of Christ isn't going to be a Sunday school picnic. We're going to have rewards if we earn them. Then shall every man have his proper praise of God. And the Lord Jesus will be faithful in giving or faithful in denying. Now, here, think of this as an example. Here are two believers. One lives a faithful life, a devoted life, an obedient life. And here's another. Thank God he's in the family. But he's been careless. He hasn't been marked by faithfulness. Now, would it be faithful of the Lord to give them both the same? No, beloved, it wouldn't, would it? And he is faithful. And he will give rewards, beloved, as we earn them. Now, in this way, we're going to have our lives judged by the Lord, and our positions assigned to us in that coming kingdom. You know, the Secretary of State, the policeman, the soldier, whether he's a sergeant or a private or a general, they all serve the Queen. Well, now, you're not under the Queen the way you once were, but you know what I mean. They all serve the Queen. So it will be in that day But our position, beloved, is going to be decided by how we obeyed and how faithfully we obeyed Him and His Word. Now, I believe there are a number of contrasts, and I see my time just gone, but let me point them out. Joy or grief. If we were to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, we see where we're to obey those who have the rule, the elders among God's people. Why? They have to give an account. Oh, they must give an account. They have a responsibility. And they want to do it with joy, not with grief. Then we have praise or censure. Or we have good things or evil things or bad things, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Timothy, we have reward or the loss of reward. We have a crown or a crown denied. We have glory or we have shame. A shame before Him at His coming. And then finally, beloved, we have an abundant entrance on the one hand or on the other, saved as by the fire. Oh, listen, beloved, if we live for God and for eternity, oh, yes, we're going to fail. We'll never be just able to say, well, I've attained. No, indeed. But listen, if we seek to live for God and for eternity, to please, to serve Him, I believe we'll find in that day, that was the pathway to His commendation and the pathway for which He will give us His reward. Now, what are the rewards? We'll not go into that tonight. How do we get them? We can't touch that tonight any further. But we do want to come back to this subject, in the will of the Lord, Thursday evening. Now shall we ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of spending a little while together this evening once again, reading, meditating upon the Word of God. And, O Father, this is indeed a solemn, searching subject, to think that each one of us will give an account not of his neighbor, not of husband or wife, but of himself, to God. A God who knows all the circumstances, who knows all about us. A God from whom nothing is hidden. We remember again and again in the book of Revelation as he addressed the churches. We hear our Savior saying, I know, I know, I know. O Father, help us to have real heart dealings with thyself, that we might indeed order our lives according to thy word, doing thy will, pleasing thee, that we might not be ashamed. Oh, we think of David's mighty men and some that were set aside, not mentioned. And then we think of that picture that we looked at in the book of Exodus, Lord, and oh, how we would desire that this might be true of us as our lives are examined, that we might be blessed by the Savior. Now, Lord, bless thy word to each dear heart. Bless the dear ones not with us tonight. Bless the dear men still out on the ocean. Thank thee, Lord, for those who are back with us, and we pray God bless them and all the dear ones. And then we think of some who are sick, even a little child. We just pray, God bless them. And bless our sister Betty Jean. We thank thee for encouraging word about her and pray thy blessing upon her as she returns home. Bless our sister Ruth, all the dear sick ones, as we just commend us to thee now with our thanksgiving once again for the Lord Jesus and all the blessings of Calvary in his precious name.